Man, hey, good morning, church. Man, it was a great Sunday last week. Oh, yeah, you can be seated. Yeah. Wasn't Easter amazing, church? Right, thanks. Okay, I'll say, yes, it was amazing, Pastor Jeff. Way to, yeah, that was good. All right, man, I'm just so grateful for everyone that stepped up to make it so special and to greet everybody and to just to make it a great week. It's always awesome to celebrate our risen Savior, but church, let's be reminded, we don't just celebrate our risen Savior on Easter, church, like it's every single day. Last week, we looked at who Jesus is and what he brings into our lives. We saw that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that he brings love and compassion, he brings truth, and he brings an invitation to believe in him into each of our lives. Each year during the sermon or the Easter season, we always have a series laid out. We have Palm Sunday, and we celebrate that Jesus is King. We celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And then on the following week, we always ask the question, what now? What now? Right? What do we do now? Now that Jesus has died for our sins, now that he has risen and conquered sin and death, as Jesus followers, what now? What does it look like to continue to follow Jesus even now that Easter has passed? And the most urgent answer to that is to trust in and follow Jesus, right? Last week, Jesus told us who he was. He said this, you can see it on the screen. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Not just I bring resurrection and life, but I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he says, do you believe this? And so if you haven't yet, church, the first step is always to respond to Jesus. Like that's everybody has to respond to Jesus. We can trust in Jesus and walk with Jesus, or we can reject Jesus and continue to be separated from him. But the first step is to respond to Jesus, to trust in him and call on him to save us, to be our Lord and Savior and to follow him. That's the most important piece, church, is to know Jesus and place your faith in him and call on Jesus to save you. And then if you know Jesus, if you are saved, you're following Jesus, then he answers the question, the what now? He lays out for us who we are and how we're to follow him. Last week, at the end of the message, we were focusing on Jesus' resurrection from Matthew 28 in verses 1 through 6. And we saw that what Jesus said, that he is the resurrection and the life, we saw that it was true. Because not only did he suffer and die on the cross, but on the third day he rose again, just as he said he would. And when they came looking for Jesus at his grave, the angel told the women, don't be afraid, because I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. And soon after that, they see the resurrected Jesus. They're comforted by him. They listen to him. And he stays with them and other followers of Jesus. He stays with them for 40 days. And the Bible tells us that he was seen by more than 500 people just at one time before he ascended into heaven. And in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16, Jesus leaves them and he leaves us with some very important words about what it means to truly follow Jesus. He gives us a mission. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to start in verse 16. But before we get there, let's want us to think about something. When we think about words, some of our most important words are a person's very first words and then their last words, right? You think about a child's first words. They're kind of a big deal, right, parents? Right? They're kind of a big deal. A person's last words are a really big deal. I remember waiting for each of our children to say their first words, and it was Dada. I just want you to know. Wasn't mama, right? It was dada, but right. And even our foster kids, when we had foster kids in our home, we loved to wait for their first words. And they're usually either these three things, dada, mama, or no, right? Only my kids. Okay. All right. None of you guys didn't have no, but it's important. In fact, when we hear these first words from our kids, what do? We try to catch them on video, right? We put it on social media. We brag about them. We write it down in their baby books. We want to remember their first words. Or maybe you're hearing someone speak for the very last time. Maybe it's just the last time you're going to see them. You're not going to get to talk with them again. Or maybe you know that this person is about to go and be with Jesus. Maybe the end of their life is coming, and those last words are important. And in Matthew, we get to see not Jesus' very first words, But we see his word, his first words recorded towards his disciples when he starts his ministry. And we get to see his last words towards them and us before ascending into heaven. In Matthew 4:18, we see these first recorded words that Jesus says to his disciples. Read this with me. It says, "Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." Verse 19, "And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him." These words were important for these men. In fact, from that point on, those 10 words, we know how important they were, because those 10 words, they directed and guided and dictated the lives of these men for the next 3 years. Right? How do you know that words make impact? Like, if it changes your life. Right? What did they do? It says immediately they left their nets and they followed Jesus. They remembered those first words, those 10 words. They followed Jesus throughout his ministry and became fishers of men. And then in our text today, in Matthew chapter 28, we see the last words from Jesus. And these words were important. These words that we are about to read, they directed and guided the lives of these men for the rest of their lives. And these words are to guide you and me and direct our lives as Christ followers for the rest of our lives. So would you guys, to honor God and his word, would you guys stand as we read this? You guys follow along as I read Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. Here's what God's word says. "The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, when they saw Jesus, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age.'" Let's pray, church. Father, at the beginning of Matthew 28, we see that you are the resurrection and the life. We see that you conquered death. But God, as we come to this passage, these last few verses, these last words of yours before you ascended to be with the Father, help us know how important they are. Help me, help us, help those online, help us hear from you, understand what you're teaching us, and God, help this really guide and direct and dictate the rest of our lives. And so God, we give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. We're going to walk through this passage, but before we do, I want us to look at one thing. We're going to skip ahead. Look at what Jesus says in verse 19. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples." Jesus is talking to Christ followers here. He's talking to his disciples. And it's probably not just the 11. There are probably a whole lot of people, of Christ followers, sitting there listening to Jesus. I think if you read verse 17, I think it leads us to understand that there are more than just those 11 Christ followers, those disciples there. But regardless of how many there were, Jesus is calling on all of his disciples, all Christians, to go and make disciples. So we should look, what is a disciple, right? It's not just those 12 or 11 men. What is a disciple? The biblical definition of a disciple is one who adheres to the teaching of another. It's a follower and a learner of someone, and it refers to someone who takes up the ways of someone else. And so when applied to Jesus and to be his disciples, up on the screen, it says a disciple is someone who follows Jesus, who learns from Jesus to live like Jesus. That should really define our life, right? We want to be a disciple who follows Jesus, learns from Jesus to live like Jesus. And so when we believe in Jesus and we call on Jesus to save us, when we are saved and we become Christians and Christ followers, we're not just to sit on the bench, we're to be his disciples. Meaning you and I, if you're a Christian, we are to follow Jesus, we're to learn from Jesus so that we can live more like Jesus and live for Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11 tells us that we as Christians were to be imitators of Christ, of Jesus. Church, the only way we can truly imitate someone is to be with them. Right? I like to spend a lot of time with the kiddos, right? And then, you know, Jessica will come by and she'll see Jax or Brody do something and she'll like, "That's your fault." You know, like he's imitating you, right? So the only way to imitate someone is to be with them, to spend time with them, to see them and experience their life personally. I know we have influencers on social media, but we can't really imitate their life without truly being with them. That's just a picture that they paint for us, right, online. And so if you're saved, then we have been forgiven of our sins. Amen, right? We're saved from our sins. Jesus gives us eternal life, so we're going to be with him forever in heaven. But we're also called to be Jesus followers and disciples of Jesus. And so when we read the words spoken by Jesus in Matthew 28, we're to read them as his disciples. And here he speaks his last words before he ascends into heaven. And these words, church, they're important. They carry weight, and they should guide and direct how you and I live our life. And in these last words of Jesus, I think we see three truths. Three truths that should guide you. Three truths that you should live out as you follow Jesus each and every day. And so Jesus basically here is going to answer the question for us. Now that Jesus has come, now that he's lived a perfect life, now that he's suffered and died in your place, in my place, and he's rose again, as he's risen as Lord and Savior, what now? And Jesus tells us, he begins in verse 18, it says this, Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We've got to start right there before he gets into the command of what to do, because Jesus wants us to understand something. He wants us to understand who he is. Jesus, church, is the authority. The Bible says, Jesus says that he has authority in heaven and on earth, meaning that Jesus is Lord over all. He's Lord over all, church. And we're going to look at that. He has lordship and authority over all things. We see throughout Scripture that Jesus has authority over all nature. In Mark 4, Jesus speaks to the winds and the waves, hush, be still. And what does nature do? It obeys. He has all authority over all nations. We see here that he has authority over all things on earth. And then in Revelation 17, 14, it says, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, meaning he reigns over all nations, and he reigns, church, listen to this, he reigns over those who lead those nations. Anyone who has any kind of authority in this world, Jesus has authority over them. He has authority over disease. We see Jesus throughout his ministry healing and taking away sickness. He has authority even over demons. Mark 1:27 says he commands even the unclean spirits, the demonic, and they obey him. He has the authority over death. We celebrated that last week, that Jesus conquered sin and death and the grave when he rose again. And he has authority and lordship over every single life. This is a very important passage. Look at Philippians 2, 9 through 11. For this reason also God the Father, highly exalted him, which is Jesus, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Church, let me pause here for a minute. Every single person in this room, every single person that's ever existed, every single person that will exist, will bow down before Jesus and confess him as Lord. Every single knee. The question is when will we do that? You know, that we hear a lot of people say, and I get the sentiment behind it, like, hey, when I got saved, I made Jesus Lord of my life. Well, here's the reality. You didn't make Jesus anything. He was already Lord. You just acknowledged it. Amen? Right? You just acknowledged it. And so the question is, are you going to confess that Jesus is Lord of your life now or when it's too late? But this is great news, church. The Jesus who we serve, the Jesus who we worship, the Jesus we sing about, the Jesus we follow and live for and read about, he has all the authority. He has the authority over all. We're getting a little personal here. You ready? But we also must realize what that means for you and me. It means he has all the authority over you and over me and our lives. Jesus is your authority and Lord. He is my authority and Lord. He is the authority and Lord over Authentic Life Church. Meaning he is the one who leads us. He's the one who guides us. The Bible says that he is the head of the church. He's the one who shows you and me and tells us how to live. He is the one who has the authority to send us out on mission. We're going to dive more into that in a little bit, but he being Lord, he compels us to go and make disciples. As the authority, he calls you and me to be his disciples. It means he calls us to be with him. We can't follow him, church. We can't follow him as disciples if we're not spending time with him. And so he calls us to be with him. He calls us to follow him. You guys, we're repeating this a few times. Are we catching on, right? He calls us to learn from him and listen to him and obey him. But sometimes, church, I think we like to skip over the last part of obeying him. We celebrate last week that he died for our sins and that he rose again. But sometimes we like to skip over the lordship part. We're okay with him being the authority over all. We're okay with him being authority over someone else. But if we're honest, man, I really like being the authority over me. And I would dare say you really like being the authority over you. But if he, Jesus, truly is Lord, and he is, then you have to trust in his authority. His authority is good, church. His authority is always right. And it's always about loving you. And that's our first truth. If you follow Jesus, or as you follow Jesus, believe and trust in the authority of Jesus in your life. Know that he is Lord. Know that he's good. Know that he is a loving God and loving authority. Believe and trust in the authority of Jesus in your life. I think we all have to start there, church, and I think we have to be reminded of that each and every day. One of the things I love to do, I used to get up in the morning, I would check my email, I would check my text message, I would jump right into work before I ever got out of bed. Anybody else with me? Okay, good. All right. I had to change that, church, because my job is not the authority over my life. Facebook or Twitter or Instagram is not the authority over my life. Fox News or NBC, MSNBC is not the authority over my life. He is, and so I had to start my day with him. God, what do you want to teach me today? What do I need to hear from you first? And if you guys need a place to start, that's a great place to start. Open up the Bible and read a few passages in the morning and just say, God, what do you have for me today? Because you're the authority. So that's number one. Believe and trust in the authority of Jesus in your life. And that leads us right into truth number two. Because he has the authority and is the authority in our life, as we follow him, we're to trust in and obey the commands of Jesus. We're pretty good in our culture, especially the Western culture, we're pretty good at saying, I really like this part. I really like this part. Oh, but I don't know, Jesus. Let's sit down and talk about that. Right? Are you with me, church? Like, we do that. We're pretty good at like trying to negotiate. Jesus doesn't need to negotiate with you. We're to trust in and obey the commands of Jesus. Look at verse 19 through 20. Jesus says to you and me, he says, all Christ followers, if you're saved, put your name in front of this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Sometimes when people believe in Jesus, they trust in Jesus, they call on Jesus to save him, they confess that he's Lord, they're saved, right? And sometimes we see that nothing changes. Or sometimes we see them get baptized and then they just sit and not a whole lot changes in their life. The things we say, the words that come out of our mouth, they still sound like the world around us. The actions that we do, the things that we do still look a lot like they did before Jesus saved us. My dad used to say growing up, if you is what you was, then you ain't. That's probably not proper English at all. If you is what you was, then you ain't. Is there evidence in your life that Jesus has saved you and changed you? Our aim in life, our past, they often still look the same. Jesus, church, hear me out here. Jesus didn't save you to leave you where you are. You were saved, you were adopted into the family of God, and you were made new, so now you can live the life that you were actually created to live. And he created us, again, to be with him, to follow him, to learn from him, and to be like him. That's our goal in life. The call on your life is to trust Jesus, to be with him and obey the commands that he gives us. He commands us. He calls us to be his disciples. You belong to him. The Bible says that he bought you with a price. He's our authority. And so our life must be one where we live in obedience to him as his disciple. I think we just have to pause, church. Is that the life we're pursuing? Right? Let's just pause. Like, does Jesus have the authority in your life, in my life, or does something or someone else? Do we live a life that's obedient to him? If someone were to look at my life and say, man, he is the most important thing, would they know that you're a Jesus follower? Listen to what Jesus says in John 8:31. He says, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. To continue, it means to continually abide in. And so Jesus is saying, there should be evidence that you're followers of Jesus and his disciples. And the evidence is that we're holding fast to his commands. We're obeying them. We're living out what Jesus teaches us. Does your life give evidence that you are his? Does your life give evidence that you hear from him and that you're reading his words and obeying him? And I'm sure we're all feeling something completely different right now. Are you with me? Right? I mean, this is tough. Like, who leads us? And we can't move on without seeing the specific command here. Jesus says, go, therefore, and make disciples. So he's saying, hey, disciple, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. This is a command, church. This is a biblical imperative. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't if you're an extrovert. This isn't if you like to talk. Jesus is saying this is a command to tell others about Jesus, to tell others about his gospel. And I want to pause here for a second. Because not everybody is an extrovert. Not everybody likes to talk. You know, you may be quiet like me. God made you the way you are. And he's given every single one of us the command to go and tell others about Jesus. So however he's made you, build a relationship with someone and share Jesus with them. That's one of the reasons we exist as a church, is to connect people to Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you, church. If Authentic Life Church stops focusing on connecting people to Jesus and sharing the gospel, we might as well close our doors. And so Jesus says, go. Meaning, as you go, as you do life, make disciples. As you go through your day and your life, be intentional about telling others about Jesus and his gospel, about his love for them, about how he came to save them. Be intentional about that. As you go to work, as you neighbor, as you are in your home, as you are in the grocery store, right? That doesn't mean we stand on at the entrance to the grocery store and hold up a sign. Right? Are you with me, church? Like, just as you do life, we need to be intentional about that. God, would you give me an opportunity to share the gospel? But church, I think we have to start by living in a way that gives evidence that we are his. You start telling someone about Jesus and like, really? You like him? Like, I can't tell. Are you with me, church? Are you following me? Like, it needs to be, are you guys awake? Okay, I want to make sure. The only time response is like when you guys are making fun of me. So it needs to be evident in our life. Right? When we go and tell people about Jesus, you can say, yeah, I can see that in you. We go throughout our day, tell people about Jesus, but we have to spend time with him to be able to do that. Here's the thing, church. Sometimes we get saved, we become Christians, and then we're like, I got my get out of hell free card. I'm good. And then we're good at just leaving it at that. We love that God has called us to be his, but we forget that he has sent us out to bring others into the family too. But church, let's be real. If the call on our life was to only be his, right, and only be Christians, then he would just take us home as soon as he saved us. But he doesn't. He leaves us here to be a part of showing and telling others the love of Jesus and the life he brings. And when Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples, here's what that means for everybody. As you do life, be intentional about sharing the love and the gospel of Jesus with others. But it could also mean for you, it could mean go. I know God's call on our family's life when we were in Kansas City was to leave the church that we were at and go help revitalize and pastor another church. So there was a call, Jeff, go. You and your family, go. And then one day we're sitting there like, God, you're doing something in my life. What are you doing? And we started praying about it. And then God called us to Tucson to plant a church and make disciples. Are you with me, church? Sometimes he sends us out. Maybe God's going to call you to another place throughout the country somewhere. Maybe he's going to call you to plant a church or to be a missionary overseas. We've got to be sensitive and attentive and obedient to that call if that's what he's doing. But he always calls us to go and share the gospel. But Jesus says, as Christ followers, as disciples, we are to make disciples. And then Jesus says, when someone becomes a disciple, when they become a Christ follower, when they get saved, the first thing he says is what? Baptize, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the first thing for us to know is that part of being obedient to Jesus is to be baptized. We see that here in this passage. We see it throughout the New Testament. People get saved first, and then they get baptized. In Acts chapter 2, we can look at a lot of passages about this, but we're going to look at Acts chapter 2. We see all these people get saved, right? Jesus has ascended. Peter preaches. The Bible says that many of their hearts were pierced. They responded. They believed in Jesus. They repented and turned to Jesus. And when they got saved, they first believed in Jesus, and then they were baptized. Look at that with me. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So those who accepted his message, those who believed in Jesus, were baptized. You see the first one? They come to Jesus, and then they're baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added to them. So those who heard the gospel of Jesus, they believed in, they received or accepted the gospel of Jesus, they were saved at that moment. It says that they were then baptized. The word baptized, it comes from the Greek word baptizo. And it means to be immersed or submerged. And so in a non-spiritual sense, it just in everyday language, this is a word that they would use. It would describe something like if they had a sunken ship, right? If there was a sunken ship, you got a ship out there, you see it sink, right? And it's gone. It's fully immersed and submerged. That ship fully plunged into the water and was surrounded and covered by it. They would look at that ship and they would say, that ship is baptized. It's submerged. But when we think about the biblical mode for believers' baptism, so when you get baptized after being saved, it's to be submerged by water. And when we see baptism in the Bible, believers' baptism, it always, after a person's saved, and it's always fully immersed into water and then coming back up. In Acts chapter 2, 41, they believe, they receive the gospel, and then they were baptized. Here in Matthew 28, Jesus says, once they're disciples, follow that up with baptism. Here's an important truth for us to know. That's because baptism does not save you. I shared the story with someone this past week. I think it was Jade. I shared the story. We were at our old location. And, you know, we got the jacuzzi tub and I filled it up with water. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that it was warm. So I lift the top up a little bit and I take my hand and I'm going like this with it. And a little kid comes out of kid's life and said, I knew it, Pastor Jeff. It scared me. And I was like, what did you know? You do something special to that water. I saw you spin it in there. I saw it all mixed up in there. There's nothing special about the water. It's tap water, church. Some people get saved, right, in the church building. They didn't want us to bring water in here, so we didn't do that, right? But some people get baptized in a river or a lake or whatever it may be. Baptism does not save you. The physical act of baptism doesn't wash away our sins. But baptism paints a beautiful picture of what Jesus has already done in your life. Jesus already saved me. Jesus already washed me clean of my sins. And so when I was baptized, baptism was me publicly professing of what Jesus already did. Baptism shows who you belong to. Just 40 days earlier, Jesus rose again after he died and was buried. And so we identify with Jesus. Think about this, church, as Jesus was on the cross. He died and was buried. And then he rose again. It's a picture of what Jesus did for you. It's also a picture of what Jesus has done in us internally, like what eternally, right? He has washed us clean of our sins. So we're identifying with Jesus. And by the way, I think about my wedding ring. This tells people I belong to Jessica. And if that doesn't work, she'll tell you, right? But here's the thing. She's in kids' life. She'll still tell you. Here's the thing. When those people got saved and baptized, that could have been a death sentence for them. Because guess what they just did to the one that they're now living for? They hung him on a cross and killed him. Guess what they did to most of the disciples? They killed them for the sake of Christ, for the spreading of the gospel. For us, we're identifying with Jesus. We go down into the water and come back up. And we also see something in this Acts passage. It says this: so those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. What were they added to? The church, the family of God. In baptism, we're identifying with Jesus. We're showing the world what God has done, but we're also identifying with God's family, with the church. You know, the church is called the bride of Christ. I can't imagine someone coming up to me and saying, hey, Jeff, I want to hang out with you, but I don't ever want to hang out with your bride. Doesn't make sense, does it? Right? Hey, Jeff, I love hanging out with you, but I don't want to hang out with your family. When we're saved, man, we're brought into the family of God. And guess what? Whether you like it or not, if you're saved, you're spending eternity with everybody. We might as well get over that junk. Amen, church? Baptism is such an amazing picture of what Jesus did in us, how he saved us and washed us clean, and it shows that we belong to him, and it shows that we are a part of his church. There's a reason Hebrews chapter 10 says, do not forsake the assembling of gathering together as some are in the habit of doing. We need each other. I need you. You guys need me. We need each other. And God says, even if we don't like each other, Jesus says, do it. And so we do it. And all God's people said, I just want to make sure we're on the same page, okay? We're going to be baptizing some people here in just a little bit. I'm excited to be a part of that. People who have been saved by Jesus, and now they're following up with that step of obedience, showing the world I belong to Jesus. So part of us obeying God is to obey his commands. And if you're saved, Jesus says we are to be baptized. Look back with me to Matthew 28. Jesus says that we're to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. When we have someone who comes to know Jesus, when someone is saved and follow Jesus, Jesus is saying, do not leave them hanging. No, he says, teach them, disciple them, pour into them, teach them all that I have commanded you, right? Pour into them, help them read the word, help them study, help them pray, help them walk with Jesus, show them how to be with Jesus, show them how to follow and learn from Jesus, show them how to be in his word, show them how to pray. Church, the only way we can do that is if we are doing it ourselves, right? I talk with my boys all the time. Man, I want you to grow up to be a godly man. And I'm trying to teach him to do that. But I can't teach him to do that if I'm not living it, right? Are we learning and observing the words of Jesus? Here's the thing. Every one of us in here is influencing someone's life. Is your life pointing them to Jesus? And so as disciples, we continue to follow and learn and grow and obey, and we pour into others to help them follow and learn. So truth number one, believe and trust in the authority of Jesus in our life. Truth number two, trust in and obey the commands of Jesus. And part of that, we've already covered this, is make disciples. Be intentional about following Jesus and telling others about Jesus and his gospel. And Acts 1:8, right? Jesus says, hey, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to empower you so you can go and be my witnesses. Witnesses is a very important word. We talk about this a lot. The word of witnesses is where it comes from, the Greek word where we get our word martyr. You know what that means? It's a truth and a message worth dying for. Tell others about Jesus. And then the third truth, and we read the very last words of Jesus in verse 20. Jesus says, remember, Christ follower, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Following Jesus is to fully depend on the presence of Jesus. That's truth number three. Following Jesus is to fully depend on the presence of Jesus. This is God's design, church. to be fully dependent on our Savior. Let me say this. It's not to be dependent on you. It's not to be dependent on your gifts or your abilities, but to know that He is with you and that you need Him. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do, help me, church, nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is one of the themes of the book of Matthew. You go all the way to the beginning of Matthew 1:23. The angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and he says, hey, this is why Jesus is born. He says, Jesus is coming to save us from our sins. And then he tells them who Jesus is. He says, behold, the Virgin Mary shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means, say it with me, church, God with us. That's who Jesus is. Not God distant from us, not God disconnected from us, not God way up there and us down here, God with us. And then Matthew closes that out in verse 28. Jesus knew how important his very last words would be, and he chose those words to be this: remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. This life that we're called to, the mission that we're called to, is not based on you or what you can do. The life and mission that we're called to is based on who Jesus is and what he can do in and through you and in and through our church. Maybe you need to be reminded of that today. It's not about you. It's not about what you can do. It's about Jesus and what he is doing in and through you and what he's doing all around you. I would challenge you before you go to bed every night just to pause and say, God, where did I see you at work today? And just talk to him about it. Where did I see you at work in my life? Trust in him. Depend on him. And know that no matter what you are walking through, no matter if you have people walking with you or if you've been abandoned, apparently, I'm country, apparently, right? You've been abandoned or you're alone. That was supposed to be a serious moment. I kind of ruined that. Y'all ever feel alone? Your Lord and Savior, Jesus, is with you always. Even when you mess up. Especially when you mess up. As we walk with Jesus, let's close with this. As we walk with Jesus, if you are a Christ follower, if you've been saved by Jesus, believe in and trust in his authority in your life. He's much better at being the boss of your life than you are. Trust and obey his commands in your life and fully depend on his presence in your life. And if you're here today and you say, you know what? I've not responded to Jesus. He's not the boss of my life. He's not saved me of my sins. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus today. Let's pray.